Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. And today and this Friday, we're going to talk about women's health and midlife, menopause and sexuality. We have Dr. Barb Dupree, and her book is Yes, You Can, Dr. Barb's Recipe for Lifelong Intimacy. It's an essential guide to sexual health at midlife and beyond for women and for the men who love them. So Barb Dupree is a gynecologist and practiced for over 25 years and specializes in midlife women's health. She is certified through the North American Menopause Society as a provider and was named the 2013 NAMS, N-A-M-S, Certified Menopause Provider of the Year. ShareCare named her as a top 10 social health maker for menopause in September 2013 as well. And her website, where you can go check out all the information that she has on this topic, is www.middlesexmd.com. So welcome, Barb.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Yes. Well, we always start off with people's stories. So tell us your story. You know, why you were called to be a doctor? How old were you when you knew you were going to go into that field? And then moving, what moved you to move into the specialty of working with midlife women?
Well, I was interested in the sciences all along, and so when I got to college, it became, back when I went to college, it was many people were either, at least the women were either a nurse or a teacher, and I wasn't interested in either of those, and I did some research in college, which I wasn't particularly fond of, so I ended up in the medical field. But again, I wasn't really interested in research, so clinical medicine was my choice. And I love the surgical aspect of medicine, so I went into OBGYN so I could do some primary care, see generally healthy women, and be in the operating room. About 10 years ago, I refocused my practice from general OBGYN to focusing on perimenopause and menopausal women.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so another aspect of your story and growing up, and I think it's, you know, it's always kind of, it's an interesting topic to know if you grew up in a home that discussed sex, because most of us weren't. And if and that changed your, how your work has changed in the attitudes, you know, now that you're working in this field with midlife and sexuality and gynecology, how that has changed your attitudes.
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because that does come up once in a while. And I would say in my practice, it's always astonishing to me how our upbringing, culture, the early messages we got about sexuality really do carry over into our adulthood and some of the behaviors and attitudes we have. And it doesn't come up daily, but it certainly comes up enough that I respect and try to understand women's perspective of how they feel sexually or what they're willing to consider and try sexually based on a whole lot of factors that we probably don't even understand at the time. So I was the youngest of four children, and I had twin sisters who were older than me, who were 5 years older than me. So they were probably as much my information source as my parents, just because of, you know, twin sisters, same age. They certainly had lots of friends over and lots of discussions about boys and everything that goes along with that. But overall, I would say that the message I got in my home around sexuality was that women mattered, and it was favorable. It was positive. There were no really scary, covert, negative sexual messages that I got in childhood. I'm not sure I processed it exactly as that. As I look back at it now, I think that was sort of the culture of the home I grew up in.
Mm-hmm. And how common do you think that is? I mean, you have talked and worked with many women, is it more common that it's sort of not a favorable topic for?
Well, I don't know that it's the majority of women, but it certainly is an occasional woman who I come across. I just had this with a woman in her early 60s who was addressing treating painful intercourse. We were talking about, options to accomplish that. And in the course of our conversation, she referenced a conversation she had with her dad. She thought she was about 9 or 10 at the time. He had a book, and she distinctly remembered that conversation, and it was kind of a negative conversation. So it was interesting how, decades, literally, 50 years later, she brought that up in conversation, and it was applicable to the discussion we were having. So again, I don't know exactly how to quantify that, but I do think there are situations in my practice when we're trying to solve sexual problems that asking about childhood and background and beliefs certainly are pertinent. And, sex therapists are there to try to help us and help couples navigate through this. But I'd say mostly individuals figure out how to overcome that and process it in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was imagining that a lot of people, we go over the families, they just don't talk about it. I mean, it may be not negative, but it's just not talked about. And I'm thinking, like you just mentioned about, having painful intercourse of an older woman in her 60s, and that's not talked about.
Right. Yes.
We don't know that as younger women that's going to happen in menopause.
Exactly. And interesting, as you said, culture and media are sort of our guides here, which is really an unfortunate situation because, of course, they don't get it right. So it is a little bit alarming that's sort of the main message most of us get, male and female, as we are formulating our ideas and beliefs around sex.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you find is interesting for you to work with midlife women?
Well, when I started focusing my practice on perimenopause and menopausal women's health, I have an 8-page intake history that women fill out. About 8 of the questions are related to sex. And it became really evident to me in a very short time that that was an area of significant dissatisfaction for women. And I was a bit surprised, but as I then opened the door to have conversations with women about their concerns and what was going on, it was a very consistent finding for me that as women age, significant sexual changes often occur, and it may be functional in that it's pain-related. It may be more cognitive in that desire is gone and trying to understand motivation to be sexual, et cetera. So there are lots of factors that go into it, but it does seem to be a kind of a uniquely challenging time for women to navigate.
Mm-hmm. So is that one of the reasons that you wrote this book?
It is. So what I was really impacted by was a number of really young women. And I mean, 50 to 55 year olds, but even beyond that, or younger than that, many women were choosing not to be sexual. They were having no active sexual activity at all, no intercourse, no intimacy, no sexual touch with their partner. And many of these women were in relationships and long-term relationships, and they were just opting out. And it became apparent to me that, that's just not great for an otherwise healthy relationship. And we need to help women figure out how to stay engaged in this. And so my goal was to write a book, create the website, to help women understand what the expected changes might be, and as a response to that, how they might adapt to that or incorporate lubricants, moisturizers, vibrators, dilators, pelvic floor exercise tools. There are an array of things women can do to try to stay engaged. The research would suggest that when couples maintain a sexual relationship, it adds about a 20% added positive value to that relationship. But when it's absent and no longer present, the negative impact is anywhere from 50 to 70% negativity to that relationship. So it really is important.
Well, also health-wise, what is that? How does that play in? Because I think you kind of alluded to that there's a health aspect to this of staying sexual.
Yes. You know, last night I did a community presentation, and I started out, the World Health Organization actually has a definition of sexual health. And in my introduction, I just introduced the idea that we really want to think about this as an important aspect of health. We talk about physical health, emotional health, spiritual health. Well, we, as clinicians, we want to emphasize sexual health. And in the World Health Organization definition, they talk about this positive, respectful approach to sexuality, pleasurable, safe sexual experiences, free of coercion, discrimination, violence. And I think it just needs to be reinforced that we all deserve to enjoy sexual health. But like any other aspect of our health, it takes work and effort to achieve it and maintain it. So for so many years, it doesn't take a lot of time and attention to enjoy sexual health. And then when things change, a lot of individuals don't recognize what to expect or how to change along with those things that are
those
coming
change.
Their way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to take a little break, and we'll come back and talk more about that with Dr. Barb Dupree.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
It's that time of the year again. The Woman of Wisdom Fall Harvest Festival is right around the corner. Join us on October 1st from 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at North Seattle Community College Conference Center. Admission is free. Festivities include arts and crafts, energy healers, intuitive readers, delicious food, and more. Don't miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womanofwisdom.org. That is womanofwisdom.org. And we'll see you there.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
Calling all Intuits, healers, and readers, you are invited to the Women of Wisdom Fall Festival. Join us as we celebrate the bounty of our Mother Earth on October 1st at North Seattle Community College. We're looking for a variety of practitioners and experts in the art of energy healings, intuitive readings, and body work. If you are a reader, healer, or an artisan selling handmade arts and crafts, we invite you to share your gifts with the Women of Wisdom community. Go to womenofwisdom.org to apply.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Tune in to The Michael Shane Show, the third Tuesday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and connect with the ascended beings to raise your vibration and manifest the life you desire. Get ready to receive healing through the transphysical mediumship of Reverend Michael Shane and the ascended beings. Visit MichaelShane.com. That's M-Y-C-H-A-E-L, Shane.com, and call 425-971-6632 to schedule your full healing session now.
We're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I have Dr. Barb Dupree, author of Yes, You Can, Dr. Barb's Recipe for Lifelong Intimacy. And so, Barb, we were just talking about, on the break, we were talking about how it's difficult for women to bring up these issues, even with their doctors. It's a lot of shame and guilt, and we don't want to admit we have sexual problems or that we're not having sex with our partners. And so what do you have to say about that? And what is the industry, the medical industry, doing about that? Or what?
Well, one of the things we're doing about it is we're having this conversation right now, so your listeners can understand, you know, that this really is a topic that should be brought up with their provider, and that's the first place to, you know, crack open the door to try to better understand what might be going on. And if your provider really isn't comfortable having the conversation, then, you know, they should be willing to help you find the person who can help. I had a 63-year-old in my office not long ago. She's married, a great long relationship. 8 years have gone by. She had not had intercourse because it was uncomfortable. And her internist had said, well, that's just kind of what happens as women get older. And she got referred to me, found her way to me, and, you know, within 3 months, we were able to allow her to restore having sex comfortably. So I would like just to say, for most sexual concerns, there are treatment options, but it's a matter of seeking treatment. The studies say that 94% of U.S. adults feel that sexual satisfaction is a very important quality of life aspect, but only 10 to 20% admit that they're willing to raise that question to their provider. So there is this disconnect about, yes, I wish I could talk about it, I'd like to know more, but I'm not comfortable doing it. And only about 25% of physicians actually take a sexual history. So the combination of I'm not comfortable asking my doctor about it and the doctor not cracking open the door for you to talk about it, you know, on both sides, we're kind of missing the boat. Mm-hmm. And generally, in residency or medical school, most physicians get about 10 hours or less of human sexuality education. So some don't ask questions about it because they don't feel they've got the knowledge or resource to, you know, go ahead and, mm-hmm. and have a conversation or present treatment options. They may be embarrassed, or they may not see it as an important part of general health. They may just see sexual problems as kind of a normal thing, so, you know, not really necessarily needed to be treated. Time constraint certainly may be a consideration. If I ask that question, well, this may take 10 more minutes that I don't have in my day. So it is complicated, but for those who have some concerns and can find some solutions, certainly the rewards, the benefits are immense.
You know, I was just thinking, because I was seeing an acupuncturist for the first time, and the form he had to fill out, there's this one question, you know, are there sexual problems or sexual issues or something? And it just felt like, well, I'm not going to share that here. I'm just getting acupuncture, you know, and it's just a question. It's so impersonal. It's just this question like, oh, if I check that, oh, that's opening a can of worms. You know, it just brings up all these things. And instead of, you know, that bedside manners of a good doctor who would know how to talk about it and comfortably bring it up. And I think that's where that trust factor of having a doctor that you trust and feel safe with to discuss these things.
And that's why relationships matter. And it's certainly going to be the woman who, you know, you're not meeting for the first time, who's likely to be able to have understood the comfort and trust factor, that they're willing. And it's so interesting to me. Every day I have patients say, oh, it's so nice to be able to talk about this to somebody who's willing to listen and understands. So I just would like to reinforce that there are physicians out there who are interested and willing to help women address concerns.
Well, and you brought up, you know, some of this, the issues of, you know, physical issues, like you've mentioned a couple of people who, you know, finding intercourse painful. What are some of the causes of that? Because that's one of the things I think is a surprise, is like, oh, why is it painful, and not understanding the physiological aspects of growing older that's happening.
Exactly. So the primary event of painful intercourse and the cause of that is going to be menopause. So menopause is absence of periods or no longer functioning ovaries. Your estradiol levels significantly drop. You really don't have another significant source of estradiol. Estrogen has a significant impact to the pelvic floor, the vagina, the vulva, the urethra, the bladder. So you may know about hot flashes. Everybody seems to have some awareness of menopause equates to hot flashes and night sweats. But one of the later symptoms of menopause or absence of estrogen usually becomes the vagina. So it's not an immediate overnight, wow, this month sex is comfortable, next month it's significantly painful. It's something that happens gradually over time. The statistic is 50% of women are having pain with intercourse 5 years into menopause. So many women don't associate with menopause because it might be somewhat later, and they don't understand then that it absolutely has something to do with hormones. And in the absence of estrogen, there is a significant reduction of blood supply to the genitals, the vagina, the vulva. So the tissues literally shrink, the skin gets more thinner, fragile, dry, and that leads to vaginal narrowing, potentially, certainly dryness. And you can just picture in your mind why intercourse would become more uncomfortable as a result of that.
Yeah, and I remember my doctor telling me, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Absolutely. One of the primary approaches to maintaining vaginal health is to have regular sex. In the activity of intercourse, there is significant improvement of blood supply to the pelvis during that time. There is contraction of the pelvic floor muscles. It all results in improved pelvic floor health. So women who aren't in a relationship, which many women aren't at this stage of life for a variety of reasons, you know, they're not even thinking about this or even aware that changes are occurring, just because it's often not evident except at the time of sex. So I always talk to my patients at that time about, okay, things are changing. You may not be aware of it, but this is a consideration for a vibrator. A vibrator is a device that, you know, allows for stimulation. They can be placed in the vagina to, you know, be like intercourse, so to speak. It brings that change of blood supply and improving the health of the tissues. And that goes back to trying to understand, is your patient comfortable talking about that? Would they be willing to do that? Is masturbation, you know, in their realm of comfort? For many it is, for some it's not. So it is a nuanced conversation to have with women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sensitive. And so you mentioned some things, but what are there some new sexual techniques that will keep sex enjoyable as we age? So those that are younger that aren't experiencing it yet, maybe they can avoid some of this.
Yeah, in not so new, but would be a vibrator. About 50% of women own a vibrator. And in my opinion, 100% of women should have one. There are some really nicely made and designed products. And that was one of the things on my website I make available to women, because when you go online or you walk in a store, sometimes there are, you know, not only dozens, but hundreds of options with off-putting appearances and maybe not safe materials and sort of just give. So my intention was to make a nice line of products that are well-designed, safe materials, and explain to women how they work, why you might choose it, how to go ahead and select a vibrator. There are some pelvic floor stimulators, electrical stimulation devices that are actually used often for urinary incontinence. And when you use those, they contract the pelvic floor muscles, and that in turn keeps the muscle stronger. So when you orgasm, which is in fact just really significant contractions of the pelvic floor, you will experience stronger, usually more pleasurable orgasms as a result of that. There is a product out there fairly recently introduced called a Fiera. It's a slight suction and vibration that's tucked over the clitoris, which helps in arousal, again, bringing blood supply, enhancing the sensation, so women are more readily able to arouse an orgasm.
And you mentioned an interesting thing, because all this, you know, this pelvic floor also has to do with our health, with the issues that many women have with incontinence. And sometimes that's hard to deal with sometimes, because you're in public, especially if you sneeze or have a big sneeze. Yeah. And we know what happens then. And
yep. It's a very common problem, and it is very treatable. But it's back to, okay, what are treatment options? Treatment options are improving tone of pelvic floor, Kegel exercises. But there are pelvic floor exercise tools. There are little balls, for instance, that are weighted that you tuck into the vagina, and you have to contract your pelvic floor muscles in order to retain or hold them there. Well, that strengthens the pelvic floor. So again, there's some pelvic floor function for bladder, bowel, comfort, and, you know, prevention. And so back to our beginning topic of sexual health, we go to the gym, we exercise lots of muscles intentionally because we know the benefits, but pelvic floor should be included in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a little break now, and we're going to come back and talk more with Dr. Barb Dupree, author of Yes, You Can, Dr. Barb's Recipe for Lifelong Intimacy.
Would you like to experience life-transforming adventures in personal expansion and world service? If you do, tune in to learn about magical innate abilities that you can develop and use to make your dreams come true. Joy Elaine is author of The Joy Chronicles, and she's inviting you and millions of others to join her in working with galactic masters, angels, and the Ashtar Command, as they assist humanity and planet Earth to achieve their ultimate destination of ascension. For more information about this upcoming event and broadcast, visit joyelaine.com. That's joy, E-L-A-I-N-E.com.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Suzanne Evans. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spirituald.com.
Are you anxious, worried, or insecure? Hi, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub. I'm the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution. Join me for my next breakthrough video seminar, which starts on September 10th. This program has helped thousands of people worldwide to overcome their struggles with anxiety, and I'm certain it can also help you. If you're ready to be free again and have a stronger foundation of inner peace and confidence, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
It's that time of the year again. The Woman of Wisdom Fall Harvest Festival is right around the corner. Join us on October 1st from 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at North Seattle Community College Conference Center. Admission is free. Festivities include arts and crafts, energy healers, intuitive readers, delicious food, and more. Don't miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womanofwisdom.org. That is womanofwisdom.org. And we'll see you there.
There are so many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A-method.com. And sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and we're talking about having an active sexual life in midlife and beyond and what women can do about that, women and men. We're going to talk about that as we're with Dr. Barb Dupree. So, Barb, why don't you give your website again and also what you have available there?
The website is middlesexmd.com, and it is set up in what we call the recipe for sexual health, including knowledge. So it reviews some of the expected changes that occur for women sexually, specifically around perimenopause, menopausal women's health, vaginal comfort, talking about the changes that happen specifically as a result of that, sensation or arousal, kind of the mechanisms of what's going on, pelvic tone, what happens as a result of aging and changes with the pelvic floor, as we talked about earlier, and then more about intimacy and reminding women about the importance of taking that aspect and nurturing that aspect of sexual health. And then for products, lubricants and moisturizers are available. We talk through how to use them, how to select them. Within the category of lubricants, they are water-based, hybrid, and silicone. And you know, each of those have somewhat different characteristics, so the selection process can be different. Lubricants are used at the time you're going to have sex to take away some of the resistance, add more moisture and slipperiness to ease comfort. And then moisturizers are actually used more for prevention and maintenance and placed intravaginally at least 2 to 3 times a week in an effort to prevent the progressive dryness that will occur over time. We've got books and CDs that discuss different topics about sexual health. There's the clitoral pump I talked about. We've got a variety of vibrators, dilators, vaginal dilators. When women experience surgery, radiation, or the atrophy and narrowing, sometimes a woman can use a vaginal dilator to try to gently stretch the tissues to, again, return back to sexual function. We've got candles that burn into massage oils to, you know, just add a little bit of the intimacy factor. So kind of a variety of products just to address different aspects of sexuality and try to help women achieve that.
Mm-hmm, great. It's a good service for women. It's to know, you know, go to a place that's trustworthy, someone like yourself that's been studying this for a long time and working with women. So let's talk about something in your book, too, that you talk about is how desire changes. You know, when we're younger, we're full of desire and that changes and what women need to do with that change to stay in a actively healthy sexual.
Yes, I think probably the most common complaint for women is a loss of desire. It's really common, and we do know that for both men and women, desire or drive drops as a function of aging. And then for women, you add the hormonal changes, it typically is going to begin somewhat at a younger age than it is for men. Women have little testosterone, relatively speaking, to start with, and ovaries remain a source of testosterone even in menopause, but at declining levels over time. And that will in turn change brain function and the desire that occurs with the presence of testosterone. Women who have removal of their ovaries will have a dramatic drop of testosterone, which will likely affect drive. So drive is this, we think about it as kind of spontaneous sexual thoughts, feelings, fantasies, dreams, this idea of a real strong attraction to a partner. And generally, as a result of that, they'll seek out sexual activity and hopefully have some physical response with that. But when that begins to diminish and happening on its own, we want women to think about desire as being less spontaneous. That's what we just talked about. Generally, it starts out in our lives as spontaneous. But later on, we have to think about drive or desire as being more responsive. Often it is motivated by a birthday, an anniversary. It's Friday night. It's been 2 weeks. I know my partner is expecting or wants to have sex. So it's not so much that I have this physical drive, but I have this cognitive motivation that makes me choose sex. And once women choose sex, decide it's a good idea, because it's Friday night, because it's your anniversary, because it's his birthday, for whatever reason they're motivated to choose sex, once they engage in the process, they usually will have some then desire, arousal, ability to orgasm. But when you tell women to just wait for their natural drive to choose to be sexual, it's not going to happen very often, at least. So we want women to be really in tune to that natural drive diminishes. So my motivation for choosing sex may change, and I need to, you know, add cues to my life, set aside the time to choose to be sexual, and just be intentional and mindful about it.
Mm-hmm. So get into that mindset and then follow through with it. You know, just make a date for it. Make a date.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, I mean, we all lead really busy lives, and there's always one more load of laundry to fold and a couple more emails you could return. So when your brain is full of all of the to-dos, it's hard to clear a space. So we really do. Women also do better when there is some planning and opportunity to prepare. Spontaneity, unfortunately, very sadly, it just works less well for women. So this idea of setting aside Sunday mornings or Friday nights, then you don't open your computer, you don't start the load of laundry, you just set aside the time, set the scene, you know, do the touch, the words, the candle. You prepare in your brain and in your environment to be sexual and follow through with it.
Mm-hmm. So another thing you talk about in your book, and similar to this, is the difference in men and women of what they want in how they approach intimacy. And so I'd love for you to talk about that.
Well, I do think both men and women value intimacy. We might think women more, but men really do too. And probably the best way to think about intimacy is actually how you act with each other before and after sex, also during sex, so to speak. But really, intimacy is built more so outside of being sexual. And so if you really want to enhance intimacy, you have to be intentional about thinking in that term and doing intentional touch. Touch is huge. With the with human touch is the release of oxytocin. So again, we're not talking about genital touch, breast necessarily. We're just talking about human touch, and it may be holding hands or sitting close, but enough that there literally is contact. There is a release of oxytocin, which is a really strong bonding hormone. And women in their brains, that works very effectively at leading them towards sex. The basic building blocks we talk about intimacy require trust, respect, admiration, and acceptance. So when I'm talking with a patient and she said, well, I haven't had intercourse in the last 9 months, my comment is, okay, is there something I can do? Is there a way I can help? Is there pain? You know, what do we need to do next? And 50% of the time she'll say, you know, well, I don't really love my partner anymore. I think he's I had this quote unquote patient last week say he's an idiot. So, you know, if there isn't this complete feeling of trust and respect and acceptance, it's going to be hard to be intimate with that person. But assuming those things are present, we really want you to think about, you know, talking about something other than what time do we set the alarm? Who's going to pick up the car from, you know, the service that was done? You know, who called your mother? Who's got to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow? Really, again, carve out sort of some time to have more dialogue and physical contact that builds intimacy.
Yeah, and you're not talking about sexual contact there. You're talking about, you know, like you said, you know, holding hands or, you know, snuggling, watching TV, or just, you know, there's many ways for women particularly to feel intimate.
Exactly. Even when you pass by at the dining room table to just lay a hand on a shoulder or, you know, brush it across his back as you walk by, it's the small things often that are really critically important and the way our brain processes that. And for women in sexual function, we understand there are at least 5 different neurotransmitters in addition to some hormones that are influencing this. So it's really complicated, and we want to set the stage for it to be as possible and successful as possible.
Yes. And so is there anything else that you can add to about this? Because I think intimacy and that feeling of intimacy and trust that you talk about is so important. And if you haven't been sexual for a while because of these issues, well, and we're going to be going to a break now, so we're going to have to come back and talk about this. I can't get you going on a new topic. So we'll come back and share more with Dr. Barb Dupree, author of Yes, You Can, Dr. Barb's Recipe for Lifelong Intimacy.
Calling all Intuit's healers and readers, you are invited to the Women of Wisdom Fall Festival. Join us as we celebrate the bounty of our Mother Earth on October 1st at North Seattle Community College. We're looking for a variety of practitioners and experts in the art of energy healings, intuitive readings, and body work. If you are a reader, healer, or an artisan selling handmade arts and crafts, we invite you to share your gifts with the Women of Wisdom community. Go to womenofwisdom.org to apply.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. So we're talking about midlife women's issues around sexuality. And so, Barb, what are some reasons that women choose to not? I mean, besides there's the physical things, so, you know, the perimenopause and menopause physical issues, but there's also reasons why women choose not to be sexual.
Yes. The three most common reasons women decide not to have sex is fatigue. Certainly, women are stressed. They're busy. So I think it does take some unique planning and discussion around making more margin in your life and for a variety of reasons. Chronic stress isn't good for us physically. It's not good for us emotionally, and it's certainly not good for us sexually. So it's a good, midlife is a good time to remind women about taking stock of, you know, how they really want to spend their time and energy and making it maybe a little bit more about them, because, you know, we find ourselves a mother, a wife, a daughter, an employee, and sometimes we don't leave much for ourselves. The second most common reason for women to decide not to have sex is they're bored. You're in a long-term relationship, and you've been doing the same routine for 32 years, and it's a little boring. We talk about the curse of the monotony of monogamy. And it is true that in long-term relationships, there tends to be this sort of unspoken routine that happens time and time again, but people get a little bored. So this is a time to suggest being a little bit more creative and lighthearted and try something novel and think about location and changing it up. And can you change things? I think 50 Shades of Grey wasn't great literature, but in my practice, it maybe added a little bit of something to that piece of women's sexuality. And then the third important reason women decide not to have sex is their body image. And they don't love their bodies. They don't like themselves naked. They don't want a partner to see them naked. So they really avoid intimate contact and intercourse because of that. And many women, as they transition through perimenopause and menopause, will experience some weight gain. And, of course, every message that we get fed, you know, dozens and hundreds of times a day is about, you know, the ideal beautiful woman being thin. So it's a really tough thing for many women to navigate, and I think they're doing it oftentimes unconsciously as well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you talk about boredom, in your book, you actually list some movies that are, you know, just sort of fun movies. It's not pornography. It's just kind of sensual, sexual movies that get you perhaps interested in thinking about sex.
Yes. So in the clinical world, we talk about this as bibliotherapy. So books or movies that have sexy pieces in them. And I think we can all remember seeing a movie that has a you know, a great sex scene in it, or maybe not even sex, but just a sexual, sort of the suggestion of sex. And it can be a real turn-on. So this goes back to our brains, what happens when we experience some bit of arousal, whichever sense we use, the more senses you can engage, touch, taste, visual, you know, hearing. So that's where adding a movie and getting your favorite movie on DVD and putting it on that segment to enjoy with your partner is a really good idea.
Yeah, those, some of these movies you have here, Body Heat, I remember that one. I had to see that a second time.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, I think the book lists maybe about 15 movies. Yeah. That was actually a really fun evening. I got together with a group of kind of friends, and we all brought our favorite one along. We watched segments of it all together, and we kind of voted on it and came up with what I think is a pretty good list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's in your book. And so there's another important aspect, I think, for women women and men, but as we age, that feeling of starting to feel invisible. And how maybe that's going to shift a bit because the elder, you know, people who are 60 and above or baby boomers, there's a lot of us. We're more active in this age now than maybe in the past. We're retiring later. We're busy. But I think there still is that, you know, because there's such a emphasis on youth and beauty and being thin and all that being feeling invisible has a real impact on women.
It does. And it's a complicated thing. It's a complicated time of life. I think one of the interesting observations I've made is that many women at this stage and age are very successful professionally. They're hitting a sweet spot in their careers. And that is really empowering. And whenever you're feeling empowered in whatever walk of life, aspect of life, that translates sexually as well. So I see kind of each of those playing out. Women who maybe physically, weight-wise, body image aren't in their best spot, but they're feeling somewhat more empowered of where they are, what they've accomplished in their careers especially. And again, that in relationships, that's a really good thing. On the other hand, for other women, you know, it can be a really uncertain time of feeling like they're losing their edge, so to speak, and feeling less self-confident, and that affects self-esteem and so many other areas. So I think it's helpful just to have an awareness about that and or talk to women about having an awareness because, again, so much of that happens subtly that sometimes we don't even process those changes.
Yeah, that's true. So what message would you want to leave our audience today in our last minute here?
Well, I think I want women to think about what we call the four important components of good sex. And number one is being present, and that's where the getting rid of stress, carving out time, being intentional, connecting. Think about new ways to connect, new language to use, new ways to experience that connectedness, authenticity. Some women truly are in relationships that sharing sex is probably not the best thing for them to be doing, and they are not being true and authentic to their best selves, and they need to ask that question. And then the fourth component is vulnerability, and I think that's one of the beautiful things about sharing a really great relationship is sex allows you to be absolutely and completely vulnerable to someone else, which is a really good thing for us to experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Barb.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, some great information. I hope women check out the website, middlesexmd.com, and her book, Yes, You Can, Dr. Barb's Recipe for Lifelong Intimacy. And there's some, you know, great information there on this show and on your website. So I hope people will check that out. So I'm Chris Stanis, and the founder of Woman Wisdom Foundation. We are going to launch our 25th annual WOW conference soon. We're in the works now of We'll be starting creating the website and everything. So within a month, things will be up. We're going to have a great new conference and special things this year. You can sign up for the newsletter to find out more about it. The dates are February 16th to the 20th. We have a two-day intensive pre-conference on the February 15th and 16th. So want to come to Seattle in February, mark your calendars and check out your airline tickets because it's a great place to be in February. And in Seattle area, October 1st is our fall festival. It's at North Seattle College, and there's still some booth space if you're an artist, intuitive reader, or energy healer. Please join us. Information is up on our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. And while you're at that, check out the Woman of Wisdom book that I put together. It's a compilation of stories and some of our speakers at the conference and art and poetry. Next week, I'm actually going to be launching the Kindle version of it. I always like to get hard copies of, you know, I've got it in paperback and it's available on the website, and soon the Kindle book will be available. So I'm excited about that. So we're at the end of our show. I hope everybody has a great weekend, and it's the end of our summer going into our fall weather. And so enjoy the weekend, and we'll be back next Friday.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.